is Bethany, and I want to thank you for joining me for Rooftops Podcast. My prayer is that this time would encourage you and challenge you to activate your faith as you hear God speak to you. So today we're going to be talking about being prepared. And I just want to start us right off with some word. We're going to get to Matthew chapter 25, verses through 1 through 13. So hang on there with me. Here we go. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour." Okay, again, this is all about being prepared. Am I prepared? Are you prepared? The word prepare means to make or to get something or someone ready for something that will happen in the future. So how about you? How do you view your relationship with God? Do you view and relate to your relationship and walk with God in this way, that you're preparing for that day when you'll meet your bridegroom, when you'll meet Jesus face to face? Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself." Or do you relate to your relationship with God as something mainly just for the present, in terms of what's going on in my life right now? How can God help me in my life today? What can he do for me in the present? And our preparedness or lack thereof is what will determine whether we are wise or whether we fall into the category of foolish. And so in verse 4, it says, "But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps." They were prepared. The five wise virgins, they were thinking ahead. They made preparations. And how about us? Do we have a plan to walk this out, to walk our faith out until we meet Jesus face to face? We know that some of the ways that we do that are consistent Bible reading and prayer time and our priority to attend church, our commitment to serve, to be discipled, to disciple others. Or are we assuming it'll just all work out and everything will fall into its own place? We assume sometimes we can just get by with what we currently have and that'll be enough. That was the foolish virgin's mindset, that we're just going to maintain. We assume we'll have enough to endure and make it through the journey. But in verse 3, it said, "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them." You know, I'll just tell myself here for a minute. So I have a pet peeve with my car being dirty. I don't like to get in it and rub against the door and then my shirt like be all gray from the dirt. And so I don't like my car dirty. And this one particular evening, I was going to a women's event and I still needed to pick up my mother-in-law for the women's event. I was giving her a ride and I go to get my car and it's just filthy. And again, you know, by now this bugs me. And so I'm thinking, could I stop and get a car wash and pick up my mother-in-law, knowing I could only do one probably. Okay. And so I'm knowing the right thing to do. I'm driving down the road. And sure enough, I just whip my car off of the exit and pull into the car wash. And the whole time I'm thinking, what are you doing? You're going to be late. You're going to make your mother-in-law late. And I just think, why do we do this? You know, why do we prioritize the natural, the superficial things over what's really needed in life, over what really matters, where we get distracted by the things that are really not going to mean anything in eternity. And sometimes we could spend more time in the morning doing our hair or picking out our outfits, maybe doing our makeup, than we even do spending time with God. Like, we know how to prepare for the natural and temporary things, but sometimes we fail to prepare ourselves spiritually. And the foolish virgins started off with enough oil, like their lamps were filled. And the same thing can happen to us. I mean, how do we start off so full of the Spirit and end up running on fumes? You know, maybe you can think about a time when you were just on fire for the Lord, or maybe when you began your relationship with Jesus. My oldest daughter got married within this last year, and so they've not been married a full year yet. And, you know, at first, everything is just blissful, right? They're just so in love, and I love that, and it's so fun to watch them. I enjoy it. But if you've been married before for longer than a year, you know that the bills start rolling in and you start having babies and the pressure is on. And our passion can just kind of dwindle with all of these things going on. And the very oil that drew us together can begin to dry up if we don't continue to do things like invest in our marriage, date nights, just being intentional about our quality time together. And this happens to us as Christians so often. And Paul was talking to the Galatian church about this very thing, who had started off, the church had started off being so full of the Spirit, but they ended up now just trying to follow Jesus in their own strength, in their flesh, the Bible says. So I want to read a couple of verses out of Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, the strong statement, oh, foolish Galatians. There's that word foolish. Foolish Galatians. Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 3, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? And so the Apostle Paul says, are you so foolish and senseless? And that seems so strong, right? But he's saying, having begun your new life in faith in the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected and reach spiritual maturity by your flesh? Because basically, they started off in faith, just like you and I, in love, in relationship with Jesus. And somewhere along the way, like the foolish virgins, their oil, their passion was dried up, and it became replaced by works. And we know that this doesn't work, right? We can't follow Jesus, you know, in our flesh. And it can be so easy to end up here, even when we didn't start that way. I mean, we start on fire for God, and then sometimes we can end up just getting content and living with maybe a fourth of the fire that we started off with. And well, the other three-fourths of us is just kind of getting by, going through the motions, and we find ourselves, we're just serving God in our flesh, like the foolish virgins, like the Galatians. The foolish virgins are members of the company called to meet the bridegroom. It's all one group here. They have lamps, they have oil. The key is they just don't have enough. And so the Bible classifies foolish in a few different ways. And I just want to talk about that for a second. I don't think any of us would enjoy being called a fool. No one wants to be labeled a fool, right? But in the Bible, it's not just this light term for maybe wicked or immoral people. It's that, but it's also a warning to the good. This is a warning to the morally upright, the respectable, the cultured church member. It's a warning to us saying, don't forget, there must be oil in your lamps. So what exactly is foolishness? Well, especially in this context, in this passage, it's just being unprepared. Foolishness can keep us from obtaining all the promises and the blessings that God has for us in this life and in the life to come. I want to read a quote by Kaufman's commentary. It says, heaven will be a prepared place for prepared people, and failure to prepare will mean failure to enter. And maybe you're that person that you're preparing. You're serious about it. That's awesome. Like, you're not only preparing, you're trying to get other people prepared as well. You're on it. You're making disciples, right? You're sharing the gospel, doing what you're supposed to do. I think that's wonderful. It's what we're called to do. But I know that we also have to be careful of kind of slipping into this savior complex, if you will. It can happen. In verse 8, it says, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.'" Like, this sounds so unloving and uncaring. Like, if your friend said that to you, you'd probably be offended, right? But there's a principle for us here, and it's that we need to stay focused and we need to stay discerning, not missing the Lord for ourselves. And we're not the Savior. We're not Jesus. And if we're spending so much of our time trying to fix and help and salvage and save others, then we can do just that. We can miss the Lord for ourselves. If these wise virgins would have actually shared their oil, there would not have been enough for them, and they would have missed the bridegroom themselves. So I know for me, there are times where I just have to turn my ringer off. I have to step away. I have to choose not to respond to my emails, because I understand that if I'm not healthy myself, what do I have to offer other people? If I'm not walking in peace myself, how can I share peace with others? If I'm not a conduit to usher in the power of God in walking in an overcoming way in my own life, how can I be that conduit to other people and step into situations and bring the power of God? And so I've got to have enough oil for myself. I want to read a quote from Alfred Plummer to you. It says, "It is impossible for one person to impart to another the spiritual power which comes from frequent communion with God's Spirit. That can come only from man's own experience of such communion, an experience which requires much time. Give us of your oil is a request which no religious person can grant." So I just want to leave us with this final thought. Like me, I hope that you are asking yourself the honest question, am I prepared? Am I prepared to meet Jesus? Again, I want to thank you so much for joining me for Rooftops.